Zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Okay, it's just creepers, people. Oh, it's just zombies, people. No creepers this time. And dang it, I messed up already.
Thank God but for that.
So, we'll probably go on the main thing since I haven't really been playing too much new because of Minecraft.
Well, there isn't much new to play at the minute.
Well, that's also a problem, too.
We're just waiting on some cool stuff to come out.
So, yeah. So, we're probably going to cover stuff that's coming up. And hopefully, it'll come out soon so I can review it.
We could review stuff that's really, really old. I got a Commodore on the internet this weekend.
Pong was amazing.
Super Sharp
Don't forget Adventure.
No word of a lie, one of my favorite games is still Tetris.
I think we broke PSV. I don't know if he was expecting that.
No, it's brain rebooting. Okay.
Speaking of blue screens, has anybody seen the new Windows 8? I have played with that.
Windows 8?
Isn't that the one that looks like a phone interface?
Yes! What the hell?
That looks hideous.
Interface?
Okay, the Windows 8 developer preview is out, and essentially it's they took a copy of Windows 7 and put what they're working on for the new UI on top of it. Now, everyone has been screaming all over the internet about this thing that they're going to be able to turn it off and go back to the classic interface if you want, which thank God, because the interface might actually be pretty good on something like a tablet or a smartphone.
Yeah, I have a PC.
Right. With a keyboard and mouse, not so much. With a big touchscreen, yes, their interface would probably be great. But I got shit to do. I really don't need my start menu to take up the whole screen.
Yeah, I'd like having a desktop.
I'm
it's
serious.
A good place
that's
to keep
what
Windows.
It does. It takes, the start menu takes up the whole screen, and you get all these tablet-like squares. And if you try to launch anything from the start menu, it's running in this tablet-style interface. Now, you can click desktop and get back to desktop, but the start menu doesn't give you a start menu. If you go back to the desktop, it takes you back to the tile interface. Now, there's a bunch of keyboard shortcuts, and I haven't gotten to play with it very much, but yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they just focus on making the interface so far is decent. We don't really need to change that. Just make it work better.
Yeah, I'm actually gotten very fond of the Windows 7 interface. I love the taskbar the way it is now.
Well, what was the time gap between XP and Vista?
Good point.
And now we've got Windows 8 being worked on.
Well,
in the overall timeline, Windows 7 has only just come out.
Well, yeah. That's we've had XP for 12 years now, but I think, is it 12? Maybe it's 10. 10, 11,
oh,
somewhere
God.
In there. It's ancient at this point. I mean, I've got people I'm dealing with at work who grew up on XP. It's like that's all they've ever known, and they still don't know how to set the resolution on their laptop. Anyways, I'm taking over your show, BSV. Go ahead.
This is not PR decking.
Yes, that's tomorrow. Hopefully.
Yeah. Barring some hideous bus accident being driven by...
So don't waste your material on this show. Unless we need it. Then I'll steal it full out. Alright. So let's go over Minecraft. Haven't played too much single player. We've set up a server and no, you guys can't know it. So...
It's only for the cool people.
Yes.
Because we're assholes.
And until they get there, we're playing it.
We're the space holders for the cool people. That means we're better than you. Unless you're a cool person.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I quite enjoy running my own little pocket universe, so.
Yes. But you don't let anybody else at the controls.
There's a reason for that. I'm incredibly paranoid.
You words to go boom doesn't mean we'll break this one too.
That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about you all bouncing shit through that box and hitting 4chan.
Yeah, don't let anyone else drive your Ferrari.
Alright. So, well, it's, well, the main big thing in this is the world generator itself got a major overhaul.
Oh, yes.
It's quite nice.
Yeah. They doubled the height limit, or...
Yeah, I think it's double.
Yeah.
But don't quote me on that.
I'm not even sure that he's really messed with the height limit too much. It just seems like it's got more vertical space to play with from where the ground starts.
I know he was talking about
messing with it, but it's yeah.
It's, I don't know if it's double, but it's definitely bigger than the last one. Since
you don't brush up against the cloud layer very fast with this one.
Well, also
he's changed the cloud height as well. Thank God.
Yeah,
the clouds are now above the build height, so you don't get clouds in your sky fortress.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry for the interruption. We have a last minute person. Should we add Heavy?
I don't know. Are you sure he's actually a person?
I'm not too sure. Let's find out.
Let's see how bad his mic is today.
Tack, get the knife. We have to test his blood.
Yeah.
Heavy, blood. You have been accused of being a person. How do you respond?
Not guilty.
We don't trust you, so we're going to put you through the test.
Okay. Stab didn't ask him you if five you were times. About it.
Like,
awesome. Okay, door's closed.
So, yes, we've started, so you've interrupted our show, but we'll...
Excellent. We'll I don't like it.
Started, so we'll finish.
I don't like it. It's zero. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Oh, wait.
We're talking about Minecraft.
the 1.8.1 update?
Yep. So, we're just going over the world generator.
You know, I like that part. it did make some really interesting chasms and sides of mountains that look like they're, you know, I don't know,
bigger
camels and shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's down to how it's generated now. It's actually changed to a... I'm going to screw up the terminology here, but it's a fractal-based generator this time.
Not too sure what that means, but it does a better job.
Well, the world
randomizing is more random.
Yes, and the world is certainly much more interesting. And granted, the old Minecraft worlds were interesting at first, but they got kind of boring. Yeah. So I'm kind of hoping he continually... changes the world generation, not even so much, you know, to improve or make it worse or anything, just tweak it as you go from time to time, so there's always something new to explore, even if it is just the same blocks arranged differently.
I'd like to see the world. Sorry,
go Heavy.
I was gonna say I'd like to see the world wrap. I'd like to see it be a defined end of the world. So that the thing could be more, you know, you got a planet and you do whatever you want with it up to a point, and then you say, let's fire up a new world and see what we get.
They did talk about doing that, so that when you go off one side of the map, you come back on the other. The problem is, with the current world gen, the size of a Minecraft map is about 3 times the surface of the planet.
Yeah, it would take a little while.
Right.
Well, I mean, wasn't there a blog of somebody who was trying to reach, you know, the quote-unquote far lands on foot?
Oh, yeah.
You know, without cheating and using a teleporter to get out there and see where the world generator gets messed up because you're so far out from the seed and you're just hitting numbers that your processor can't handle.
Yeah, the variables are too big.
Exactly. Yeah. No,
the idea is that now that he's switched to a fractal-based system, he shouldn't have to change it to get unique landscapes anymore. With the fractal-based system, it does a random generation and then randomizes that random generation.
Right. So does that mean the seeds aren't always the same? Or?
The seeds will be the same because they define how they're randomized.
Ah.
But basically, rather than taking a stock set of random variables, it then goes in and then further randomizes them again. It adds layers of generation.
Ah.
Which is why you get, like, ravines going through mountains and caves.
Yeah. Oh, ravines going through ravines.
It's probably where he added the, you know, in that second pass-through, that's probably where he was able to add in things like the NPC villages and the abandoned mine shafts and the towers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
They have towers?
There was a tower on our server. There's a tower that nobody built over one of the abandoned mine shafts.
Oh yeah, that little indicator thing.
Yeah, I was actually working on trying to get a mapping system installed on our Minecraft server earlier today, but because I made the mistake of rolling that box up to 11.04 on the Ubuntu install, the one I wanted to use won't work. So I either get to compile custom libraries or figure out something different. I haven't made the decision yet on which one is easier.
Yeah. So you have? Do you know that RU and I are having consistent issues on that server? Actually getting it to do anything?
I just updated it to 1.8.1 today, Heavy. Have you tried it today?
Yeah, I have. What point in time? I was on there about like 4 o'clock.
Oh, that was after I did that. I probably did it about 2 my time, but... I think you've got something going on your end, because it's not...
Not be the case. I have been on 4 other online servers, 1.8.1.1, and I've not had a problem.
It's working fine for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since he hard rebooted it, it's fine for me.
No mods.
Okay.
You have 64-bit Java installed?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. That's the most common problem people have been having.
Yeah, I know. I checked that early.
When you say, but the problem here is, Heavy, I can't help you because you keep saying things like, well, it's locking up or it's not working. What the fuck do you mean it's not working?
I literally go in world and I freeze, and rain or weather or turning is like 2 frames a minute.
That's client side.
Yeah, what graphics card do you have?
What?
Graphics card. Are you playing on a Commodore 64?
No. I'm playing on a NVIDIA, what the hell was it, 4800?
But probably save this to after the show, since I don't know too many listeners.
All right. So anyways, we're having the reason why I brought it up is because we were talking about it, and I've had a grand total of 3 perfectly decent days on the server to really kind of get an idea of what's going on with it.
I think the main thing is just the update hasn't been that good since... Yeah, I've had days that have just been completely bad, but most of the time it's been good, but...
I love the fact that it works fine for me, and I was the one who was always crashing.
Actually, I haven't had a problem since 1.8 update either. Yeah. Are you playing in browser, or are you playing... Just with the launcher.
Yes.
Have you turned it off and turned it back on again?
Cable. No. I've been in on the browser, and I've been in on the actual desktop app, and I've actually. But that's what I'm saying. I've been on other Bettercraft and some of the other servers, and I've not had a single issue of lag with it. So it might just be our connection.
That. Connection is solid, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Anyways, so what we were going to review next about the update.
So, let's see. Oh, the NBC villagers are there, but nobody runs them.
Free base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So, hopefully they'll be pretty decent once 1.9 comes out, whenever that does. But in the meantime...
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, they're pretty much empty towns to either build in or to loot. Your choice.
In the meantime, just wait until someone updates a mod to put NPCs in there. And then they'll probably be better than 1.9 update will be.
Actually, I think the bucket mod has been updated.
How many of you guys have played the Millionaire mod?
I have. That's fun.
Yeah, that's the villages look better than the vanilla villages do.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't just talk to them and use that as a base.
Yeah, that's what they did for the piston mod. Do you think they just go out there and find whoever's got the best NPC mod and say, okay, we'll gank your code?
Yeah. Isn't that the whole point of the whole making it mod friendly?
Honestly, if I was working for them, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
The community has made it clear that they want input on it. So it makes sense to take the input from people who are already working on the things you want to add.
Yeah.
So you just take their code and integrate it into the vanilla code so it works better.
Yeah.
That's the main problem with mods at the minute is that their mod hacked system is very touchy. Yeah. They don't have a decent mod API.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's why you get so much lag with mods.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Notch, if you go all over the place and you look at all the bits and pieces of stuff he's written, and here they rule, the Notch will lie to you. But if you look at what he said he was intending to do a full release pretty much, and then slowly as sales died off, he wanted to release it into the open source. So he just hadn't thought, he's not in that mindset yet. But maybe will be.
Have you heard about the projected release date?
No.
The same day as Skyrim. Fantastic day to release something, I think.
Well, it's a fantastic day to release it, since afterwards he's probably not going to be too focused on programming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the one day that's pretty much guaranteed nobody's going to be doing anything.
Yep. So, what's next on our review?
The only other main thing other than the terrain update and all that is one of the main thing is you have to eat now, which I like since it makes you actually do stuff other than build your own base and hide in it. You actually have to go out and forage for food, which can be a bit tough since, I don't know about you, but I made my own map once and pretty much I started out on a small island in an ocean. I had to
animals
sail.
Animals are much harder to come by now.
Yeah, I had to literally sail across the ocean surviving on zombie meat to actually find a food supply.
You had to build a boat to get a sandwich.
You can actually starve to death now. Gotta love it.
But it's good. It does put some emphasis on building something that makes sense.
Yeah. Although
you have to have a source of food.
Yeah. Although the one thing, since they did make the animals more persistent or whatever they refer to it as.
I think it was more persistent.
Yeah. It'd kind of be a little bit nicer if they also made it so you can farm the animals at the same time, since at least in the middle, the starting area of our place, there's practically no animals.
Yeah, there's a couple of hidden gems if you're careful.
Yeah, but it's really survive. Yeah,
if you're lucky, you'll find them in holes.
Well, there's like mountain ranges will actually come together and like two little valleys will form like, I don't know, maybe 20 blocks by 20 blocks. These little reservoir area that you'll get like 20 pigs in, you know, they're sitting there and well, I ate them all, but honestly, I didn't know about the whole food thing being limited.
Yeah,
well,
that's what the main thing. We didn't figure this out until they stopped spawning. It's like, where did all the tasty
new
meat
Minecraft
go?
World kill all the pigs?
Huh.
Whoops.
Yep. So I'm hoping that fix comes along because we definitely need to be able to, you know, start farming.
Especially since it makes arrows incredibly tough now with no chickens.
Yeah, and zombies don't drop feathers.
Yeah.
So who else has had to rebuild entire walls because of Endermen?
I haven't had them mess with any of my construction.
Yeah, that's up to me.
Well, let me explain it this way. I found a mountain that had an edge jutting off to it, and if you looked at it from both sides, it looked like an eagle's head. You know, you kind of chisel a few pieces here and there out and, you know, go in and hollow out the head and make, you know, eyes and glowstone and all this other cool stuff. unless you're working on that and you got three enemies that sneak up on you, and then that chunk of mountain is blown off, and you said, "Ah, screw it, I might as well go do something else."
I've had them tear up the entire front of my build a couple of times actually, and what it is because several of us are building in the same general area, somebody else will be online, and that chunk will be loaded, and so I'll log in, and Enderman will have spawned over near my build, and they'll just have taken down a wall.
And this is actual wooden wall that you put up, or
yeah, I found the blocks scattered all over the front yard.
I thought they were supposed to only tamper with stuff that was farmed naturally.
Nope, they've taken wood out of my wall, and they've taken, well, that unless somebody's setting off creepers over there, but I found the wood in other places, so unless I'm being griefed. But I've also found all the giant mushrooms I set up over there. I've found blocks that they've taken out of the mushrooms and moved.
Well, the mushrooms I see, since you grow trees and they move blocks from the trees, since the blocks that are generated by the computer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why they would be ripping down your wall, since that just seems odd, and buggy. At least I haven't had any problems with that.
The Endermen are buggy in multiplayer anyways. I assume it's just another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's buggy enough they don't actually, work.
Well, I've noticed they really won't aggro on you if you look at them like they're supposed to.
Yeah, I've only had them aggro once or twice when I looked at them.
They'll do it in single player now. I've noticed that, but not in multi.
And don't know about you, but I really haven't had much difficulty fighting them, even when they aggro.
Yeah, two or three hits, and they usually tend to go down.
Yeah. And I don't even wear armor.
Oh my god, he's running around naked!
Yeah, exactly.
That's why the Endermen fear me. So far, pretty much, in my opinion, they leased it a little bit early and needed to polish a few bugs, but what they did with the changes, I really like.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. I think I'd say it's going in a good direction.
Yeah. So I think the only thing we haven't seen with this one is we haven't stumbled across any strongholds yet, but we'll eventually find one.
I will say this much. I am looking forward to getting a quad-core Android device that I can play the app on, because that should prove to be very interesting. It seemed like it would be good, a couch game.
I don't know. I'm not sure I'd want to try to play it on a touchscreen.
Yeah, that, especially trying to fight stuff.
I don't know about, I mean, we'll see. If you got, I played, many a game with a very touch-based aiming system, so you just, tap, 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 tap. I could see that.
The one I'm curious about is the version for the Xperia Play.
Yeah.
Which is that gaming phone thing, the brand new N-Gage.
Exactly. I don't think you really need those controls, though. I mean, really, if you think about it, you're just tap, tap, tapping with your forefinger anyway, so you'd just be doing it on a screen instead of a mouse.
But I think they've been clever, because if you remember the N-Gage, the problem was there weren't really any games for it, and it was a crap phone.
Yeah.
Whereas, with any system, having the right game can just make it skyrocket. And I think Minecraft already being on there is a big step towards that.
Exactly.
Makes me wonder if they got some seed money from a certain hardware manufacturer.
It's a good chance of it. Well, it's coming to the Xbox, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I think that pretty much covers the Minecraft 1.8 review, which we'll most likely all be playing for quite a while. But let's see here. Can probably do some future stuff in a little bit, but I'd like to kind of go over a little bit away from games. It has to do with games too, but pretty much the kind of like the whole series of it, the Stalker series, since There's game, there's a movie, and a short story.
It started as a short story.
Yeah, it originally started as a short story called Roadside Picnic. Read it, very good, and out of all three of the... Well, I don't know too much about the game, but of the movie and all that and what I know about the game, I like the way they have it set up in the short story, since it's pretty much, they don't really go too much of describing the stuff, but they talk about all the, or kind of the odd stuff, like, because it's pretty much literally in the area, well, off-limit area, can't remember what they exact call it.
Yeah, I've forgotten as well.
But yeah, pretty much, literally, stuff's completely not right. People, there was like junk that somebody touched, and it literally, they just started slowly dissolving their bones and all that.
Well, you know, and, when you're not using your bones,
yeah, and there was just odd stuff that they would slightly hint at it. Pretty much, they do a very good job of having you fill in it, which is one of my favorite things. Because when they tell you it straight out what it is, it's never as bad as the subtle touches.
Yeah, well, the thing with a good story is when you read it, it will be different to when someone else reads it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the image you have in your mind will be completely different.
Yeah, so, see here, have the, well, the Roadside Picnic, at least, as far as I know, I haven't found a modern print of it or that you can actually purchase other than if you find an old print. So, if you want to read it, you'll most likely have to find a digital copy of it somewhere. It's not that long. It's maybe 100 pages of large print.
That short story. So,
yeah.
Clues in the name.
So, yeah. It's very recommended. Pick that up and read it if you like. Either watch the movie or played the game. Because it follows a very nice, creepy sci-fi story. Kind of don't want to go too much into it without going away, since it is a story and that's the whole point. But yeah.
The games actually got quite slated when they first came out. Because they're very, very strange to play, because they're sort of a mix between a role-playing game and a first-person shooter. If you try and play it like a role-playing game, you're going to die. If you try and play it like a first-person shooter, you're going to die.
It's a bit odd.
Yeah, it's really, really brutal.
But, yeah. But also, with the story, it pretty much, well, the main story is it does follow a veteran stalker that, for those that don't know, those are the people that wander this messed-up area and guide people through and to retrieve hidden texts and there's just, like I said, random stuff that appears in the zone that can't be explained. But so yeah, very interesting book, short story, give it a try if you can find it. Next, the movie, which is just Stalkers, was very... Well, has any of you watched the movie?
No, nope. I've not seen it.
No.
So I'm the only one that gone through the other two. So yeah, pretty much one of the interesting parts is they actually do film it in Chernobyl, which kind of bad since most of the actors in it eventually died of radiation poisoning from the film.
Oops.
Yeah, well, it was during the Cold War, I believe, so kind of, well, not too well regulated.
Kind of makes me wonder if they had any problem with the equipment. Electrical equipment and radiation, not great.
No, I don't think they're really in the high amounts since. But I don't know the exact details, but...
It would be interesting to see if there was any... Was there any ghosting effect to the film?
Not that I remember, but it's been a while since I've watched it. And I didn't really find out that effect until after I've watched it, so...
That would be kind of interesting to go through and watch yeah. the film and see if you can see, I don't know, like...
Interference, basically.
Interference, but moreover, you know, it's Chernobyl, right? So look for, like, ghosts and shit on the film.
but which, due to this fact, they did have some nice shots of, well, the area literally did seem that it would fit into the roadside picnic story, since pretty much just odd, messed up ruins. And pretty much on this one, they have a few little things that, but nothing too big that they actually show of kind of supernatural effects. Pretty much the main story was where Stalker was bringing in a person to try to go to the center, which they do cover this in the story. Pretty much the center of it, there's Ari's. They don't know what's there, but pretty much people say that can grant wishes or all that.
And all this from a radioactive disaster, right?
Well, it's not really a radioactive disaster in the story. Because in the roadside picnic, this is just, it's set in that area. It's just, this has happened other places of the world. It was
like Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite like that. But, because I don't really want to go into the thing with the roadside picnic since, well, I'll just say the roadside picnic has more pertain to what the theory of what happened from the Stalker, which is quite neat if you think about it. But pretty much in the movie, kind of nothing seems to have happened, but if you look at kind of most of the people that went there and survived got what they wanted. I need to go back and watch it again since was a little bit, it was late when I watched it, so, but, so it is a very well done movie, and,
so, if you were going to give it a beer or weed rating, what would it be?
I really wouldn't give it either, since you want to be paying attention and thinking about it and not just messed up. So, I would recommend watching this sober. It is, because it is a, you have to be paying attention to kind of notice the stuff. It's not one of the movies that you need to be drunk or high for it to be interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of a pain, isn't it, when you watch an amazing movie, but it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And you remember it was great, but you can't remember the damn movie at all the next day.
So, probably going to definitely try to get my hands on it again, since I don't know, like this book, it's kind of hard to get. It can rent it at some places, but yeah, getting a physical copy it'd be a bit tough.
What's the book called again?
Oh, the book is called Roadside Picnic. I won't try to pronounce the name since I'm probably will completely butcher them. And the movie is just Stalker. Then,
there it is. If you, I just Googled Roadside Picnic ebook. First thing comes up is a PDF.
Yeah. So, and yeah, it was written in Russian, so was translated.
Roadside Picnic by Arkady Strugatsky. If you're interested in the author,
Arkady and Boris.
Yeah.
Strakowski, and
Strugatsky. Yeah.
It's just a simple text PDF comes right up on the. It's the very first thing on a Google search for just Roadside Picnic ebook. I don't know if this is a legal copy or not, but it was the first thing that came up.
Live on air Googling.
Yay! Great radio.
Yeah.
Well, don't blame us if you get in trouble.
Hey, it's if it's good enough for Twit, it's good enough for us.
Fuck but. Twit. I'm serious. I can't listen to it anymore. It drives me insane.
No.
If you're gonna have anybody sing the troll song, it needs to be Fox. He's good at it.
Yeah. But so, both the book and movie, I truly recommend trying to get your hands on if you like sci-fi base stuff, since it has its own unique look in it and is kind of, well, the world itself isn't post-apocalyptic, but yeah, the areas that they go into is pretty much severely apocalyptic type area with weirdness, which I like. And since I haven't actually played the game, but apparently Tech has,
yeah,
your opinion
the
on the game
one.
That was produced after these?
It's a, when I played it, it was a really good game, but I suspect it hasn't aged well. And I know already it has issues playing on modern hardware.
Well, haven't they still been releasing parts of the series?
Yeah, there's a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stalker Clear Sky and Call of Pripyat.
Yeah.
Which I've heard are okay. I haven't played them myself, so I can't give you a definitive review. I think Fox has been playing them, though.
I may have to see if his opinion ever will get him on the show again.
Yeah, he must have a decent opinion of it, because I've spotted he's played it a fair amount. Via Steam, I can e-stalk all of your gaming trends.
So, probably may take a look at the game. So, your opinion of people playing the game at all, or despite it not aging well? Or?
It's worth a look. I think it's sort of in the first hour of gameplay, you'll either get it or you won't.
So it's not a game for everybody?
No, most definitely not. It, like I say, it's very, very brutal. It's extremely punishing.
Yeah.
It's one of the few games I've played which has, you know, first-person shooter controls and an RPG system, but if you get shot, you're kind of screwed. You know, you get shot twice, you're dead.
So it's not like most ones like Fallout where you can get hit by a rocket and survive.
No, there is no bullet sponging going on.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, as with the RPG system, you get better at surviving after you've been shot. But there's not much you can do about surviving being shot.
So you can
I just got a reply from Analog. He noticed your message earlier and is wanting in on this.
Alright. Another person interrupting the show. Why do they respond when the show is already going?
Well, we're already 40 minutes in. I don't know what you're worried about.
I'm just making dramatics.
Goddamn, Joiners, I was here from the start.
You there, Analog?
Yo, what's up?
Hello. In middle of show. Have you played...
We were on the show before it was cool.
Have you played or watched any of the Stockholm stuff?
No. No. Educate me.
Well, you'll have to go back and listen to about 10 minutes ago, since we're just wrapping it up.
Okay, that's cool.
Let's see here. Since like I've said, been playing Minecraft and also now Knights of the Old Republic since that was on sale. Haven't been in playing anything too new.
Yeah, and damn you, because you mentioned Knights of the Republic to me to ask how it was, and now I'm playing it again.
Hey, it's only fair. You spread games to me, just returning the favor.
Yeah. It's a really good game.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
And probably most people knows about it since... How old is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's ancient now.
Well, okay. Let's pick to something mildly more recent. How about Sanctum?
I picked this up on Steam not too long ago. Pretty much, it's a unique look on the tower defense since you build up towers and all that to defend the curve, but you also, during the wave, you are a first-person shooter fighting along with the towers, which adds to some fun since you can literally just make a maze and rely on you fighting, but later on that doesn't work too well.
Yeah, it's a tower defense game, and it's first-person shooter, and I've really been having fun with it because you actually do have quite a bit of variety in the way you can play.
Yeah, because you can build towers, upgrade towers, but you can also upgrade your own guns, so depending on how you play, you can focus on one or the other more, or try slowly build up both.
Well, there's also, too, there's different guns. Yeah. I mean, do you want to focus on your sniper rifle and then, fill your towers with nothing but Gatling guns, or do you, really upgrade your machine gun and then use your towers to slow things down? I mean, there's plenty of ways to go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. First time I played that game, I thought it was a dream.
This requires an explanation.
Yeah, BSV actually sent it to me. He bought it for me.
Yeah, well, I actually bought it for most of the group.
Yeah, he managed to buy it for me, so I got the notification when I was really, really ill. So I was really sick and delirious, and I spent like an hour playing this game, and I fell asleep. And I woke up thinking that playing that game was what I just dreamt about. So I was really confused when I actually had the game I just dreamt about.
Dear God, what medicine are you on? Can I have some?
That's the NHS for you.
And also, it's up to 4 players, so can do play co-op with some friends, which is nice, since originally it was just 2-player co-op, which they expanded it with an update.
Yeah, shortly after the sale, wasn't it?
Well, it was during the sale that they released the update and with the sale.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got to play co-op with it.
Did we? Yeah, neither did I.
Huh.
I don't think we did. I think we always just kind of were playing it whenever anything else was not going on.
Yeah. No, I had a couple of people I got playing co-op. I thought I played with most people. Well, we can always play it later. Since I still like it, I just like most stuff, distracted by other stuff. Games.
Yeah, fun stuff gets put to one side for other fun stuff.
Yes. And then you eventually dig it up and, ooh, this was fun.
Yep.
First world problems.
Yeah, for sure.
Too much entertainment. But, have to do something when you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to starve that day.
God damn it, my distractions are distracting me from my distractions.
So let's see here. I would definitely recommend picking it up. Like I said, I literally bought it for everybody, so I did like the sale, but don't. So I think it's only about $10, $12 now.
Well, it's a really nice sort of casual game as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to sit there for hours on end playing this epic adventure.
Well,
you can just throw in an hour if you have an hour to kill.
Yeah, although you can end up burning quite a few hours if you're not paying attention.
Any video game?
Yeah.
Well, also since there's the endless wave mode, so it's just keep going until you either die or realize how late it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I've heard people call Minecraft a casual game, so that's all just a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
By definition, I think Minecraft is a casual game. It's not a hardcore game for hardcore gamers who play Battlefield.
Or WoW.
Yeah. Click, 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 I'm hardcore.
Exactly.
Wait, I forgot to click there. Click, click. But, yeah. So, I'd definitely recommend it if you like tower defense and want something a bit more unique. Or if you just have a group of friends want to play it, since I believe they still have the throwback teal on Steam, which isn't too bad. At least on the sale, I think I got, it was four of them for about $8.
Yeah, I think for most multiplayer games on Steam, they have a group deal.
Yeah, depending on how big the co-op in the game is.
Yeah, which is, it's good, but it's also kind of a pain in the ass, because it means one person has to buy all the games.
Yeah.
There's no system to have everybody chip in on the deal.
That would be nice, but I think Steam's just more before getting the money. Not how.
That is their job, isn't it?
Yeah. So, let's see here. Should we go over... Let's see here. Future stuff. Probably... I would have said. Well,
there's the one everyone's talking about at the minute, which is Diablo 3, because that's in beta.
Which I believe I've talked about it before. Yeah, at least currently I refuse to play, well, refuse to buy it, since you have to constantly be online.
Yeah, buy being the term here, because it is another game where pirating it is going to give you more options than buying it. And that's just the sad fact of it.
So, yeah. So, Blizzard, if you want us to buy the game, don't be jackasses with said game.
Yeah, listen to the complaints of the people who are going to give you money.
But unfortunately, the sad thing of, with, like, most, what is it? So-called internet boycotts.
Most people don't end up buying it anyway.
Yeah, it's like, I'm never going to touch it. Yeah, bullshit. They'll be playing it the day it comes out. Well, I mean...
Oh my God, I can buy it pre-release now. Oh my God, oh my God.
You know, I'll tell you, I was not very happy about it when they were pulling this crap with StarCraft 2, but I ended up buying StarCraft 2. I mean, I wasn't going nuts about it. I was just like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And honestly, it hasn't really been a problem for me. I didn't notice that. The only annoying part was you had to sign into Battle.net to play the single player. And that was really annoying because Battle.net went down for about, an hour or so one night. And when I wanted to play, I couldn't sign in. It was like,
Well, that's the
welcome to one of the flaws.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the whole thing is, I'll most likely not notice it if I pick it up. It's just... It's a principle thing. They want it just make it so it's more convenient to play your game. So if I don't have internet access at the time, I can still play it. Or for people that don't have any internet
access. Well, okay, it's very rare. Let's be real. When are you not going to have internet access?
I know.
This is not the argument. You can argue principle all you want, but let's get to where it's really going to be an issue, and that's the LAN party. Because a lot of LAN parties will run, an entire, 200 to 500 person LAN party off one cable modem, and trying to run tournaments for something when everybody's got a really crappy internet connection, and you have to use Battle.net, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. And Blizzard used to be known for, with the exception of World of Warcraft, everything prior to that, Diablo, Warcraft.
Oh yeah, there were also games
ran out of the box. I mean, yes, it would be nice to throw the first couple patches on there, but you didn't have to. You could still play the game.
Well, also it's kind of hard to have an online multiplayer not online.
It is possible though. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. No incrimination.
I had a freaking private server for a while before the damn game came out. Analog, you remember playing around on that thing?
Hey. It wasn't bad. It was a little buggy. Couldn't see a lot of stuff, but
It was some pre-release copy we got our hands on and found some server for, and I compiled. It wasn't even a binary. I had to compile the compode out of the code. I think it was a Fedora Core 4 box I built it on. Probably it worked, kind of.
Making the giant rabbits.
Yeah, that was one of the fun things of playing around with the unofficial servers was you could screw with stuff like the size variables.
Sounds like fun, but
it gets old pretty quick. I mean, it's just one of those things we did for a LAN party, and because we knew we weren't going to have internet access, so we looked up how to do it, and it was fun. It was stupid, but it was fun.
So pretty much, I see. Yeah, like you were saying, the LAN parties. Guessing there'll probably still be LAN parties. They'll just not be legit copies playing the LAN party.
Well, that's probably the way it is, anyways. So.
Yeah,
it depends on the connection, the way they do the connection as well. Because if you have to go through Battle.net, which if you remember with Diablo 2, because we played that not so long back, and we didn't have to go through Battle.net to do that. That's when they still had a TCP/IP option. If they still have that, then that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
But I suspect they don't.
There was a server, I'm wanting to say it was for Warcraft 3, that actually emulated the Battle.net protocol. And I'd be willing to bet somebody's going to dust off that code base.
But the main thing I think why they're doing this, other than trying to keep it secure, is since they're going to be trying that real money auction for online items.
Well, there's that,
but
also let's be real about this. How long before we start seeing massive amounts of in-game advertising?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I may play it, but I probably won't buy it. Fix the game, and I will buy it, Blizzard. I want to buy your games. You're just not being nice about it.
Yeah, it looks like a really good game. I'd love to buy it from you. Just fix this bit.
Well,
can I have that option back, please?
Just to play devil's advocate again here, we all buy a lot of Steam games, and Steam, for the most part, has to be online for your games to work.
I've had my internet crash and still be able to play Steam.
That's true. Yeah. And
it has a working offline mode.
It has a working offline mode. I'm not denying this, but... it used to be if you didn't tell it to go offline when the connection was good, it wasn't going offline until you could verify it. Now they fixed that, but
if they fix Diablo 3, that'll be fine.
there you go. I'm just saying, is it was it that big of a deal when we were looking at Steam that oh my god, you had to be online all the time?
Not when we first started playing games on Steam. That's when I found out.
I didn't use it when you had to be online.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I guess that raises the big thing with Steam though was whether or not you had physical copies of your games, like where Steam disappeared.
Yeah,
well, but
there is an issue. They have said that if Steam, for whatever reason, does go offline and stop being managed, they will give away the the unlock keys for the games.
Yeah.
Well, also with the games, most of the games you get a legit, key for it too. Which
yes, it a key.
Means you can get an unofficial copy and make it official with the key.
The thing I'm wondering, though, because a lot of games use Steam for verification as well. Like, for example, when I got Fallout New Vegas, I actually got the collector's edition and I got it days before it was released. Hmm. So I thought, hey, that's funny. Let's see if it'll run. I install it. It goes through Steam. Not verified. Crap. So if Steam was down, I wouldn't have been able to install it.
That I am getting a little bit upset with Steam because I had the same thing. Well, verifying it for Fallout. With Fallout, you can still play it offline, but I forgot to go over this with Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Yeah.
Buying a physical copy of it, you still need to run it through Steam to play.
Yeah, buying a physical copy buys you the Steam copy.
Yeah.
Well, no, it has all the information on the disc, but it still has to
run. It's still encrypted and has to be unlocked by Steam, yeah.
Yeah, it just installs it in your Steam apps folder.
Yeah.
There was another one that was doing that.
Only Vegas does that.
Yeah. No, now I know where I was going with this. It was when the PSN was down. Everybody who bought Portal 2 for PlayStation couldn't unlock it. Couldn't play it.
Which, I'm really hoping they'd stop doing that, but... Yeah, not too sure about that, because that's, again, I can play it when I want once it's installed, but...
Yeah, installing it offline doesn't work.
Yeah.
Which
isn't as bad as always having to be online, but it's still bad, in my opinion.
Well, I just think...
Yeah, it's not something I approve of, but it's something I can put up with.
I'm just thinking, wouldn't it suck if you had like one of those crappy internet connections that goes out every 15, 20 minutes trying to play Diablo?
I know when RU was trying to play, Dead Rising 2, Window Live, you have to be online for Dead Rising 2.
Oh, and he was having that?
Yeah, he could play for a while and it would just crash and he lost all his gameplay.
That's not cool.
That's what I'm worried about this, too. If you have a hiccup in your line, how sensitive and picky is this?
Yeah, if it's just authentication when you first start the game, that wouldn't be so bad. It wouldn't be great, but it wouldn't be so bad.
If I play for 5 hours and not save, and it detects your internet connection is not verifying right, you are kicked from game.
Yeah.
Surely it has an autosave feature built in, though, right?
The old Diablos did. Yeah, they were just pretty much constantly saving.
Oh, yeah. This may have it. It's just an example. It's one of the reasons I'm not liking this new method they want to use.
Well, that is basically the problem they had with Assassin's Creed 2. If your connection goes down, the game just stops and doesn't save.
Yeah, which... You're making games for people. What happened to the whole making games for the gamers and not the whole, we must make lots and lots of money. What's the best way we can make money?
Well, they are ran by companies, and that is their goal. Yeah.
I know.
The day.
But the whole thing, and at least in my train of thought, the better you treat your customers, the more they stay your customers.
Well, now that is there's a good argument to be made there that, you know, by putting this kind of restrictive DRM in, you're essentially assuming that everyone in your customer base is a pirate.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, you treat your customers like criminals.
Yeah, and of course, the pirates just strip the crap out.
Yeah,
it's like the classic one, isn't it, with the FBI warning on the movies. the only people who see that are the people who bought the DVD, because the pirated version doesn't come with the FBI warning.
Yeah. Which, I have to say, for one thing, they were pretty much the only games I've pirated before were games that I legitimately could not get in the USA. Like Mother 3, they never released here. So I had to pirate that. This is literally one of the first games I'm mainstream games that they're releasing here that are probably pirates. So they are literally, at least for me, driving me away from purchasing it. So at least I am an example of it's driving their customers away. I don't know if this is the same for other people or if the people would pirate anyways, but this is just me, and they're most likely going to lose money from me.
Well, yeah, if it wasn't for this DRM, I would have bought it pre-release. Because I loved Diablo and Diablo 2. They were like two of my favorite games ever.
Yeah.
And the beta does make it look like an amazing game that I want to play.
But this one little hiccup and...
Yeah, I will stand by my principles as much as it hurts.
So, yeah. So, probably cut the show here. Probably going to end up picking up Gears of War 3 this week, since played the first two, liked the first one a lot, second one, okay, but kind of feel like I need to finish the series, and also the multiplayer co-op sounds like they've made quite a few neat things with it, like bosses in herd mode.
Yeah, I wasn't very big on the Gears of War series, and I think it's too intellectual for me.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's I like the series and probably gonna be playing it, so probably be reviewing that next week unless I get distracted by Minecraft and Knights of the Old Republic, which is
and
a high possibility.
We'll review Minecraft again.
Yes, Minecraft is our default review subject on this show.
Well, you could always just change the focus of the show and turn it into a Minecraft show.
The Nameless Review Show 7/ Minecraft Reviewer.
Yeah, that's going to get a bit dry a couple months down the line when we're all waiting for 1.9 to come.
And you just start picking mods and shit to review.
Well, that and it'll probably vote down to us just playing the game while doing the show. So, yeah.
We know that doesn't work too well.
That could be an interesting show, though, just depending on the number of creepers. Because I'm told I do scream like a little girl when a creeper explodes in my face.
Yeah, or you accidentally fall off a mountain cliff to your death.
That's true. That is very true.
Or when somebody's digging in up obsidian and leaves an exposed block when they walk away, and you follow them.
That was hilarious.
As I desperately try to throw out a bucket of water for my inventory.
Pro strats.
But yeah. So probably next week review Gears of War and probably more future projections, since other than Gears, that's probably going to be a little higher, because I think the next main games is really... Oh, what is it? Skyrim and...
Oh, and Saints Row.
3.
Batman, Arkham City as well.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
Why do they have to pilot so much at the end? Well, if anybody's actually listening to us, see you next week and... enjoy the music.
Goodbye, you son of a bitch.
Hey, no last words, see you later.